John Brown's Body by John Graham, with Donald MacKillop as John Brown, Hilda Schroeder as Queen Victoria, David March as William Gladstone, Lewis Fyander as Lord Charles Fitzroy, and Manning Wilson as Sir William Jenner. Balmoral Castle, September 1871.
Another scone, Your Majesty.
I have already eaten two.
Three, but I wasn't counting, ma'am.
They are quite delicious. Thank you, Brown. Only one more. The bannocks and the Dundee cake look equally appetizing.
The jam is newly made.
Oh, paradise.
Plum.
I meant Balmoral. Last night I wrote in my journal, Balmoral Castle is my own dear paradise, and my wise counsellor and friend John Brown helps make it so.
Thank you, Majesty.
Oh, Brown. Dear Brown, if only Albert were here.
I'm sure his late Royal Highness is with us. In every corner of the gardens, in every corner of every room.
In all four corners of my heart.
Eh? Aye. This tea is terribly weak. Where's my bag?
My bonny wee bag.
Here it is. The water of life.
Oh?
Whiskey.
Ah.
For medicinal purposes, for my cough.
But you don't have a cough?
Not yet, but you never know. The weather's been chilly recently.
Quite. Very wise, Brown. As I always say, drinking tea without whiskey in it is like eating a boiled egg without salt.
Very prettily put, ma'am. Only this time I'll not bother with the tea.
No whiskey for me, Brown.
Ah, that's more reasonable. He's still here, you know.
Who?
That Prime Minister of yours. Keeps asking me to arrange an audience with you.
I didn't want Mr. Gladstone to come to Balmoral in the first instance. But he has a most determined nature. Inform him that I will see him tomorrow. Or the day after. No, I feel too tired to cope with him at the moment.
If you ever see two people talking and one of them is bored, Mr. Gladstone will be the other one.
How true. Generally speaking, Mr. Gladstone is generally speaking. Oh, dear Brown, I really do not know what I should do without you.
I'll be with you, Majesty, through hell and hot water.
You! What are you doing?
Oh, me?
Yes, you, lassie.
I'm just standing, Mr. Brown.
I can see that. Parlour maids are not paid to stand and gape out of the window with their mouths open.
Yes, sir. I mean, no, sir.
It's Jessie, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I was just looking at Mr. Bruce playing the pipes out there.
Oh, him. Aye, Mungo Bruce is a grand piper.
Doesn't he look handsome with his kilt and things?
Are you still walking out with Mungo Bruce?
Oh, aye. I promise not to tell a living human being, but I could tell you, Mr. Brown.
Tell me what?
Mungo Bruce and me are to be wedded.
And when are you to be married, pray?
It was to be next year in the summer, but now it's to be sooner. Quite a bit sooner.
Indeed. Why so? I hope that you and Mungo Bruce haven't been enjoying yourselves.
Enjoying ourselves?
Aye.
No.
Not up on the hill?
No.
Not down in the woods?
No.
Not along by the river?
Oh, well. Along by the river.
Oh, Jessie, lassie.
At least not often.
Oh, Jessie. You have sinned, and now you have to be married. That's it, isn't it?
The people will have a name, Mr. Brown.
I've always thought you were too bold with the laddies.
I didn't chase Mr. Bruce.
Does a mouse trap have to chase a mouse? It takes two to fornicate, Jessie.
To what?
The fact is, you have erred and strayed.
Both?
You know the Queen's view on morality, and you know the Queen's views on immorality. Mungo Bruce the Piper, eh? I'd have thought he needed all his wind to play the bagpipes. Well, at least he's going to make an honest woman of you.
What will Her Majesty say to me? What will she do to me?
As you and Mungo Bruce are to be wedded, There's no need for the Queen to know about your unfortunate condition. Oh,
thank you, Mr. Brown. You see, men in kilts are my wee weakness. You look handsome in your kilt too, Mr. Brown.
Be that as it may, off with you now.
I have to see to the fire in the anteroom.
Not a big one, mind. Her Majesty hates hot rooms, and no fire at all in the library. The Queen and I have our usual appointment in there at 6 o'clock this evening.
Yes, sir. Mr. Brown, what do you and the Queen do in the library every Wednesday at 6 o'clock?
That's none of your business.
I'm sorry.
Remember what curiosity did to Lot's wife?
Was she turned into a salt cellar?
Something like that. Off you go, quick.
Yes, sir.
Sweet baggage. I'm as dry as a wooden leg. I need a wee drink. For medicinal purposes. And why not?
Are you going to light a fire, Jessie? This library is the warmest place in the castle with a temperature below zero.
I was told not to light a fire in here, Lord Charles.
Who told you?
Mr. Brown, Lord Charles.
Listen to me, child. As the Queen's equerry, I have the authority to ask for a fire when I want one, and I want one.
But Mr. Brown said...
Never mind what that man said. It's colder than Siberia in here. I don't know who discovered Scotland, but whoever did should have kept quiet about it. So a fire, please, and a large one, Jessie.
The Queen and Mr. Brown will want to use the library at 6 o'clock, Lord Charles.
Ah, yes. It's Wednesday, isn't it? No matter. I'll have a fire in the meantime.
Yes, sir. I'll go and fetch some logs, then.
Thank you. Oh, by the way, child.
Yes, sir.
Why do the Queen and Mr. Brown shut themselves in here every Wednesday evening?
You don't want to be turned into a pepper pot, do you, Lord Charles?
I beg your pardon?
I mean a salt cellar.
What?
Excuse me, sir.
The Scots, they're a breed apart. And I'm sure they do. Ah, Sir William.
Not disturbing you, am I, Lord Charles?
Not at all. I was just thinking that only fools live in Scotland and only bigger fools like us come up here to visit it.
We have no choice, Lord Charles. You as an equerry and I as Her Majesty's physician. Where the Queen goes, so go we.
The sooner we can leave this well-ordered cemetery, the better.
I'll say amen to that.
Amen. It is incredible how the Queen manages to ignore all criticisms about her withdrawal from public life.
Her Majesty insists she feels too weak to read state documents or to speak with Mr. Gladstone.
She finds it hard to speak with Mr. Gladstone when she's well. All the same, I feel sorry for the Prime Minister. He's been waiting around here for 3 days.
Nevertheless, she says she feels stronger and healthier away from London. She has difficulty in sleeping down there.
She has difficulty in sleeping up here.
But not after tonight. Oh, yes. She'll sleep soundly tonight. I have here, in my bag, the perfect remedy.
What is it?
This amber-coloured fluid is a new physic with a laudanum base. Anyone falls into the arms of Morpheus with a minimum of laudanum.
I see. No smell.
No taste. What do you think of it?
It just looks like medicine to me.
No, not that. The bag. Presented to me by Mr. Gladstone. A gift from London.
Very handsome.
I shall call it my Gladstone bag. I understand he gave one to John Brown, too.
Yes, I noticed. Doubtless he uses his to carry the chips from his shoulder.
What's all this?
What? What's all what, Brown?
You asked for a fire in here, I hear.
Correct.
Her Majesty cannot abide hot rooms, and she and I have our usual appointment in here at 6 o'clock.
We are aware of that, Brown.
Mr. Brown, if you please, I am the Queen's personal servant, or had you forgotten?
I don't think any of us will be allowed to forget that.
And I thank you, Sir William, not to smoke that pipe in here.
I beg your pardon?
Granted. So put it or yourself out.
It's unlit.
Nevertheless, the intention was there.
He hasn't got the manners of a pig.
Oh, yes, I have. I mean, I haven't. So, no fire. If you want to keep warm, go outside.
Oh, come, Lord Charles. The keen Highland air may cool our tempers. Mm. Let us stroll in the gardens.
The fact is, the Queen seems to be
blind to old Brown's faults and foibles.
She's forever talking of his charm. Charm!
His charm could be wiped away with a damp cloth. We all saw him the other evening at dinner, lying under the table.
Smelling like a distillery. Then the Queen, as usual, jumped to his defence, saying he was bashful.
She knows full well he drinks like a fish.
Pity he doesn't drink what the fish drink.
Most disturbing of all is his unnatural influence on Her Majesty.
It's Brown who persuades the Queen to spend these endless months here at Balmoral.
You think without Brown's influence she'd return to London?
I'm certain of it.
London. Oh, I'd give anything to see the steamships on the Thames again, to stroll through St. James's Park, to spend an hour at my club.
Better still...
2 hours at my club.
No, even better. Imagine life in the royal household without John Brown.
Ah,
life would be worth living again.
There would be no more unseemly quarrels. We could sit at the dinner table without having to tolerate his incessant belching.
No, Lord Charles, I fear the unpleasant peasant is here to stay.
Unless...
Yes, unless?
Unless he could be discredited in the Queen's eyes, if his reputation could be tarnished.
Our lives would be burnished.
Exactly.
Impossible.
Even the Prime Minister doesn't care for Brown.
Well, that's something in Gladstone's favour.
Good day, gentlemen.
Oh, talk of the devilish. Good to see you, Mr. Gladstone.
Lord Charles, Sir William.
I'd assumed, Mr. Gladstone, that you were out on the hills with the other guests. Deer stalking or walking?
My eyesight isn't up to it.
Walking?
No, stalking. But I am strong enough to enjoy walking and talking. And that is what I hope to indulge in now.
Talking?
No, walking.
Splendid.
Exercise for the lungs.
Walking?
No, talking. The other is barbaric self-indulgence.
Walking?
No, stalking.
I can never get through to Mr. Gladstone somehow.
Behold the black-green fir trees, the grey rocks, the boundless ranges of heather. Do they not exalt your mind and spirit, gentlemen?
Well...
I knew you would agree. I now intend to occupy 20 minutes usefully and healthily walking by the river.
I'm sure it's going to rain, sir.
Nonsense.
There is a saying, if you can see the hills, there's rain on the way.
And if you can't see them, it is raining.
I have made extensive studies and observations of weather patterns, and I assure you, gentlemen, there will be no rain today. On my return, I hope that Her Majesty will spare some time for affairs of state. I have urgent papers for her attention, although she'll show no inclination to deal with them, or me, since I arrived from London.
Her Majesty has not enjoyed good health of late.
It is my opinion, Sir William, that she has enjoyed her bad health. The nation is her responsibility. Yes, the people... And what do the people think of their queen? I will tell you. They don't think of their queen. If she is not indulging herself in orgies of grief at Osborne, she is burying herself at Balmoral. How could she carry on the government of a country 600 miles from the metropolis? It is a living, breathing scandal, gentlemen. Her behavior perplexes and appalls me. And if she were to ask my advice, something she has singularly failed to do in the past, I would advise her to abdicate.
Abdicate? So come, sir.
Abdicate. I bid you both good afternoon.
Have a pleasant stroll, sir.
I never stroll. I stride.
Have a pleasant stride, then, sir.
I feel there's a storm brewing. I really do, Mr. Gladstone.
Even if there is, and there isn't. What harm is there in the rain? As Her Majesty once said to me, Mr. Gladstone, she said, a day in the Highlands without rain is like a boiled egg without salt. Good day, gentlemen.
The trouble with Mr. Gladstone is that he's here today and here tomorrow.
Why does he have this absurd passion for physical exercise? I feel I ought to take some exercise, but I'll rest in the library until the feeling wears off. I have to go back. I left my bag in there.
Now, where did I leave it? My bonny wee bag. I put it down in the library somewhere. Here it is. Time for a wee dram. purely for medicinal purposes. That's better. Odd. Doesn't taste like whiskey. Doesn't smell like whiskey. That's all right, though. Maybe I've got a cold. Better have some more, just in case. Come in.
Oh, here, here, Mr. Brown.
What do you want, Jessie?
Oh, there's someone... Oh, are you all right, Mr. Brown?
Me? I'm perfect.
Oh.
Just a bit dizzy suddenly. I don't feel right.
You'd better sit down, sir.
Not at all, not at all. I only had a wee dram. Very odd.
Let me... Oh, Mr. Brown, don't drop your bottle. Careful.
Put it back in my bag, will you?
Yes, sir.
You're very sleepy suddenly.
Are you sure you won't sit down, sir?
I'll just hold off to the wall for a minute. It seems to be moving, too. Oh, she's sleepy.
Mr. Brown, there's someone waiting to see you.
Who?
He's a minister of the Kirk, sir.
Oh? Dear child, have you been able to adhere to... Oh, good day.
Good day. Who's this, Jessie?
I heard voices.
This is the gentleman, Mr. Brown, I told you.
Mr. Brown? Mr. John Brown?
Aye, that's me.
If you recall, you arranged an audience with Her Majesty for me last week.
I don't follow.
Don't you remember?
No, not completely.
I'm the Reverend Dr. Darling.
Ah, oh, yes, the minister.
Ah, yes. I shall have the great honour and privilege of preaching a sermon on Sunday at Crathy Church in the presence of Her Majesty.
Ah, yes, yes, I recall.
Ah, very good.
Indeed, it was a very good sermon.
But I haven't preached it yet.
Oh, no hurry. There's no hurry.
Oh. Mr. Brown, I think you'd better sit down.
Leave me alone, Jessie. I'm just a bit dizzy and confused.
Oh.
I had a letter from you in confirmation, but I left it over at the manse on the piano.
I see. What?
I should have brought it with me.
No need. We have three pianos here already.
Not the piano, the letter, the note.
Our pianos have plenty of notes. Black ones, white ones, yellow ones. What are you talking about?
I have an audience with the Queen, Mr. Brown.
Well, why didn't you say so?
Mr. Brown, I have here a small gift for Her Majesty.
Oh, yes.
Would it be permissible for me to present it to her when we meet?
What is it?
It's here in my bag.
Oh, you've got one too.
Oh, this, yes. These bags have been made most popular by our much-respected Prime Minister. Wide, stout, and useful.
Very good.
Oh, no, the bags, I mean.
Oh.
Here we are. My gift for the Queen.
It looks like a hen.
A chicken. I understand Her Majesty is partial to boiling fowl.
Maybe. I've never seen her boiling one. Well, just put it away for the moment, back in your bag, Dr. Darling.
Oh, very well.
The sight of it is making me feel much worse.
It's quite fresh, I assure you.
Excuse me. I'll inform the Queen that you're both here.
Both?
You and your hen.
Oh, very well.
And ask Auntie Jessie to wait in the doctor's room, darling.
What, sir?
I mean, ask Dr. Darling to wait in the ante room, Jessie.
Yes, sir. Poor Mr. Brown doesn't look very well.
Isaiah 5, verse 11.
What,
sir? Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they follow strong drink.
If you say so, sir.
I don't say so, child. Isaiah says so.
Oh, this way, sir. If you'll just go in here and wait in the anteroom.
Oh, very well.
We can relax in the library for a while, Sir William. That kilted tyrant won't trouble us.
Brown, can you be so sure?
I've just seen him staggering upstairs, barely able to put one foot in front of the other.
Bashful again.
He put one arm around the stag's head at the top of the staircase, and I distinctly heard him say to it that he didn't know who he was, but the face was familiar.
contemptible.
After you, Sir William. Oh,
thank you, Lord Charles.
He not only drinks these days, he seems to drink between drinks.
And yet, as far as the Queen is concerned, he wears a permanent halo.
If only that halo were to slip.
If only he could be discredited in the Queen's eyes.
That would be a gift from heaven.
She would never tolerate immorality on Brown's part. Supposing...
Yes?
Supposing he were to be involved with a woman.
Involved? Oh, you mean involved with a female woman of the opposite sex?
Yes.
He'd never look twice at any of the women here. Lady Clark looks older than the Cairngorms and is three times as craggy.
Lady Melville has a face like a horse and not one I'd care to back.
But there are others. It's a thought.
Mark my words. If we got rid of Brown, it would be for the good of the country and us. But we can talk of this later. Sir William, I understand there is a clergyman somewhere awaiting an audience with the Queen. He is to preach the sermon on Sunday.
Oh, I see. A Sunday without a good, long sermon is like a boiled egg without salt.
The Queen said that.
Not yet, but she will.
I'll be back in a moment. Oh, Jessie, what do you want?
I've brought a lamp, sir.
Oh, yes. In you go, then.
I've brought a lamp, Sir William. It's getting dark.
Fine. Put it by my table here.
Yes, sir.
I wish to read.
Oh, dear.
What's the matter, Jessie?
It's the room, sir. The library's going round and round.
What?
And up and down, sir. I feel all unnecessary, Sir William.
Again, Jessie?
Yes, sir. Just like the last time.
Have you anything to tell me, Jessie, since we last talked together?
No, Sir William.
Are you sure? Come along now.
Well, what ought to have happened hasn't happened, and what oughtn't to happen is going to happen.
Oh, dear me. Girls like you should have a padlock before wedlock. Now, who, Jessie, is responsible for this outrage?
What outrage is that, sir?
The father, Jessie. Who is the father?
I can't tell, sir.
You mean there's more than one possibility?
Certainly not, sir.
Well, then you must tell me. Some man must be responsible for this depravity.
Yes, sir.
If I am to help you, it is your duty to tell me who the father of your unborn child is.
Oh.
Does he live in the district?
Nearer than that, sir.
Nearer? Are you trying to tell me he's a member of this royal household?
I am. I do. I mean, he is.
I see.
I couldn't help it. I have a wee weakness for men in kilts.
Men in kilts? Did you say... Do you mean a man in a kilt?
Aye, sir.
A kilted member of the royal household?
Aye, sir. Initial B.
B. And that's the truth. He debauched you?
Oh, no, sir. It was a warm evening down by the river.
Spare me the details. At least in the meantime. Well. Kilted member of the royal household.
You're not shocked, sir?
What? Oh, yes, deeply shocked. One cannot be a model at Balmoral.
Mr. Brown said there was no need for the Queen to know.
He said that? Brown said that?
Yes, sir.
This is a gift from heaven.
No, sir. It was down by the river.
Run along, Jessie. We'll talk later.
And you don't think I'm a sinner?
No, you've done very well, Jessie. We are all going to be most grateful to you.
What?
You have saved the country, Jessie. And us.
But...
Be off with you. You're not dizzy any longer.
Well, yes.
Good. Off you go. Well done. Brown's halo has slipped. It's round his neck like a noose.
Yes, calm down, Sir William. You've just spoken with the parlour maid. Go on.
Jessie, yes. And she has admitted, yes, admitted, that she had tasted the fruits of union.
The what?
She has been undone.
I don't follow.
Oh, Lord Charles, please do not be obtuse. This servant girl has dilly-dallied and is now expecting a happy event. And what a happy event it is for us. She has admitted that the man responsible is a kilted member of the royal household.
You mean John Brown?
Of course. We wish to find a way to discredit Brown, and by seducing the servant girl, he has discredited himself.
When the Queen hears of it, his head will roll.
Or bounce.
John Brown will fall like Lucifer. We shall tax him with his shameless behavior, then lay the lurid facts before the Queen.
First, I must go to Her Majesty. She wishes to sample the new laudanum draught. I left my bag somewhere. Ah, yes, here.
Brown's career will be at an end. I almost feel sorry for him. No deuced if I do.
No, what was it?
Brown. I'd like to have a word with you, and also with the parlour maid, Jessie. Please be here in the library in 10 minutes' time.
I was trying to remember something. There was a doctor in here earlier, I'm sure of it.
Sir William Jenner is here, ma'am.
Not him, another doctor, a minister of the Kirk. Now, where did I put him?
I've no idea what you're talking about.
I feel strangely muddled and sleepy.
Come, Sir William. Mr. Brown has buttered his bread. Now he can lie on it.
Indeed. After you, Lord Charles.
Thank you, Sir William.
I'm a bit confused. Perhaps I need to his rank. I left my bag somewhere. Ah, here it is. This will help me. Oh, I've never known whiskey to lose its smell. Hasn't lost its effect, anyway. Not much taste, either.
And this is the new sleeping draught you recommend, Sir William?
Yes, Your Majesty. You will, I trust, find it effective. It is indeed quite palatable, having neither taste nor smell. Majesty?
Oh, how very strange.
It has a laudanum base, ma'am.
It smells like... Well, it smells like whiskey.
Well, if Your Majesty says so, but I do assure you...
I wish to have a nap. Pour me some, Sir William.
There is no spoon, ma'am.
But there is a glass, Sir William. This large tumbler will do.
Come in, come in. Who's there?
Ah, Mr. Brown, it is I.
Yes?
It's me, darling.
What?
Dr. Darling, you told me to wait in the anteroom, but I thought perhaps I'd been forgotten.
Not at all forgotten.
Ah.
Who did you say you were?
I have an audience with Her Majesty.
Ah, yes, the piano and the sermon and the hen.
You feel unwell, Mr. Brown?
Yes. I feel dizzy and muddled and sleepy again. I must sit down.
I'm rather worried about my little gift for Her Majesty.
Gift?
Yes, I told you. This chicken in my bag here.
Oh, yes.
Now, the point is, should I present it to the Queen? Or should I present it to you to present to the Queen? Or perhaps I should have brought my wife with me to present it to you to present to the Queen.
Your wife, you say?
My little chicken, a nice plump boiler and very fresh. Only this morning she was running round the garden.
What?
Her beady little eyes looking this way and that. The breast's firm, that's what matters.
How could you, sir? Never did I expect to hear a man of the cloth refer to his wife in such a manner.
My wife? I'm talking of this chicken, Mr. Brown.
Oh, yes. You better go back into the anteroom. The Queen will see you soon.
Oh, very well.
And leave your bag here. Oh. I'll see that she receives that chicken of yours.
Thank you. Most kind.
Away with you now.
Very well, Mr. Brown.
I don't feel at all well. I'd better have another wee drink to wake me up.
Is the Queen asleep, Sir William?
Oh, on the contrary. She insisted on having a dose of my laudanum draught, but far from putting her to sleep, she said it put new life into her, seemed to liven her up. She said it tasted like the finest whiskey.
Indeed. Ah, you, girl.
Me, sir.
Yes, you, Jessie. Come with us. We wish to have a word with you in the library.
Yes, sir, but with respect, sir. Mr. Brown and Her Majesty have their appointment in there together at 6 o'clock.
Don't fret, child. When the Queen hears what we have to say, she won't want Brown within 100 miles of her.
In you go, girl.
Thank you, sir. Oh!
What's the matter now?
Mr. Brown's lying under the table.
What?
Asleep. He's being bashful again.
Leave him. Leave him alone.
Oh, sir, listen.
Oh, keep calm, Jessie. It's only thunder.
Excuse me.
Who are you?
Darling.
I beg your pardon.
Dr. Darling.
He's a minister to see the Queen.
Oh.
I was told to wait in the anteroom, but there's someone climbing through the window.
What? Well, climbing through the...
First, he might be an anarchist, but then I noticed his knickerbockers were badly torn. Oh. In fact, torn asunder.
What the devil? My apologies, Reverend Sir. What on earth? Climbing through the window, you say?
Oh, yes, here he is.
Mr. Gladstone.
The Prime Minister.
Oh, sir.
What is the matter, Mr. Gladstone?
The matter? And that confounded fence upon the hill? I tore my garments in my haste to return before the storm broke. I am soaked to the skin.
You were very sure it wouldn't rain, sir.
I am aware of that. But even a Prime Minister can be mistaken. Once, perhaps.
Oh, sir.
Avert your eyes, girl. Go to my room and fetch another pair of trousers. I can't be seen like this.
Well, there's nothing to cry about, Jessie. Here's my handkerchief. Now dry your eyes.
Where am I?
Brown! Why are you crawling around the room?
There is something odd about the whiskey.
Never mind, all right. On your feet, man.
Will someone please find me another pair of trousers?
Mr. Brown, will you oblige the Prime Minister?
My trousers wouldn't fit him. Besides, I wear the kilt.
Kilt, of course. Mr. Gladstone, here, take this.
A tablecloth? What am I to do with this table cover?
It's a tartan one. Wrap it round your nether regions like a kilt.
Oh, very well. But if I am seen like this, the Liberal Party as we know it could be finished.
Sir William, offer Mr. Gladstone a pill or potion. He appears to be upset.
Upset? Of course I am upset. My trousers have disintegrated. I am drenched to the skin. I am humiliated and totally mortified.
Mr. Gladstone, I have a remedy in my bag for chills and related ailments.
Hurry up, then.
What the devil? What's this? There's a plucked hen in my bag.
It's my hen. My bag.
Well, then where is my bag?
I just wish to see Her Majesty to discuss the sermon for Sunday.
Reverend Sir, if you would be kind enough to wait in the anteroom.
Again?
For a few moments.
But there's no cause to put...
Thank you, sir.
My bag.
For heaven's sake, Sir William, stop waving that chicken in the air.
Will someone please find me a pair of trousers?
Oh, Your Majesty.
What are you all doing?
What are we all doing?
We're playing charades, ma'am.
Charades?
Yes. Charades.
We are amused. I haven't played that game for such a long time. May I play, too?
Your Majesty must be fatigued.
Oh, not at all, Sir William. I feel very well.
Besides, we've almost finished.
Now, I insist on taking part. You all look so happy.
Happy? Me?
I...
You were all enacting the syllables of the word, were you not?
Your Majesty, let me explain.
Well, there is no need to explain, Mr. Gladstone. I have played charades many times before. Now, Sir William, you are holding aloft. Good gracious. It's poultry of some description, is it not?
Chicken, ma'am, I believe.
Now, what syllable does that represent? Is it hen?
Hen.
Correct, Your Majesty. Oh. The first syllable of our charade word is indeed hen.
Oh, how interesting. And who is representing the second syllable?
Oh,
is it you, dear Brown?
Your Majesty.
Oh, Mr. Brown is so clever and so amusing, crawling around the room on hands and knees like a dog. Yes, of course, dog. The second syllable must be dog. Hen dog. No, no, that can't be right. Mr. Brown is not being a dog after all.
He's a cur.
What's that? Cur! Of course. Hen and cur. Oh, I am enjoying myself. And Mr. Gladstone is joining in the fun, too.
If Your Majesty pleases, may I be excused from this embarrassing and pointless folly?
No. You must play charades like everyone else.
Oh.
Oh, Mr. Gladstone, with that tartan table cover round your waist, you look like... What do you look like?
Nothing on this earth.
I know. A Highland chieftain.
Ma'am, you are quite correct. That is the final syllable Mr. Gladstone is enacting, chief.
So, the complete word must be hen. Then Mr. Brown was cur, and lastly, chief. Handkerchief!
Congratulations, ma'am. And Jessie, one of our servants, was sobbing, miming into this handkerchief.
Oh, how very amusing. Let us play again.
I am too old to play games, ma'am.
Oh, Mr. Gladstone, a day without laughter and a little innocent amusement is like... A boiled egg without salt.
Your Majesty has an enviable gift for an apt phrase.
Oh, Brown, are you all right?
I can stand up again, so I must be. Somebody gave me a chicken. Was I dreaming? No. Here, it is. Jessie, take it to the kitchen.
Yes, Mr. Brown.
Come, Sir William. It is time for more of my medicine, I think.
Again?
Before you leave, Your Majesty, I must impress upon you the urgency of matters of state. I have papers requiring your signature, urgent reforms to discuss. You assured me you would grant me an audience today.
Oh, Mr. Gladstone, the tedium of matters of state. And you may remove your tablecloth now.
I can't. I mean, may I suggest we meet in an hour's time?
Certainly not. Her Majesty and I have our weekly engagement at 6 o'clock.
I hadn't forgotten, dear Brown.
Ma'am, of the duty of a queen.
I will see you and your wretched documents later, Prime Minister.
This way, ma'am.
And Mr. Gladstone, please remove that tablecloth.
Never in my life have I been subject to such embarrassment and abject humiliation, and in front of a woman.
Come, come, Mr. Gladstone, that's no woman, that's the Queen.
Charades, indeed. The Queen wastes time on such toshery while the nation rots. I suggest...
May I suggest a pair of trousers, sir?
Of course, I cannot be seen like this in the corridors.
Brown, will you please?
The man is intoxicated.
You could be right. The whiskey didn't agree with me.
As Brown is incapable, allow me, sir.
Lord Charles, in my bedroom you will find a grey suit. Those trousers will suffice. And if you would be so good, may I ask you to bring my bag containing the state papers?
I shall bring the trousers and the state papers immediately, sir.
They are of vital importance.
Yes, sir.
And so are the state papers.
And as for you, Mr. Brown, we haven't begun to deal with you yet. Never mind. By nightfall, your goose will be well and truly cooked.
Goose? It was a chicken, wasn't it?
Brown, why are you lying on the floor?
Why are you in your underwear?
Oh, I shall adjourn through here to the anteroom. I'll feel safer away from prying eyes.
But there's someone in there. That clergyman.
Oh, dear, this is a most unhappy state of affairs.
You wait.
Avert your eyes, Reverend Sir. It is no fault of mine that I am bereft of any garment to cover my lower limbs.
Ah, Mr. Gladstone, sir. The Book of Job, chapter 32, verse 9.
What?
Great men are not always wise.
Oh, be quiet.
Oh.
You look terrible, Mr. Brown.
I feel terrible. But this fresh air's doing me good.
I've taken that chicken downstairs for supper.
It doesn't need supper, it's dead.
Our supper, Mr. Brown? You look worse. Would you like a cup of tea?
I'm not as bad as all that.
I'll have another wee drink to freshen me up. Open my wee bag.
Yes, sir.
That's my wee vice. My one wee vice.
Brown! There you are.
Yes, Sir William, sir.
Brown, a word with you.
Yes?
Brown, what the devil have you done, Brown?
When?
You've got my bag, man, and I have somehow got yours.
Nonsense, this is my whisker bottle.
It's my bottle of laudanum.
Laudanum?
This is your bag here with your whiskey.
You're right.
It's appalling.
It certainly is appalling. You've been drinking my whiskey.
Certainly not.
But the bottle's half full.
Worse? It's half empty, sir.
And if you had my bag, then I must have been drinking your laudanum stuff. Maybe that's why I'm so muddled. Odd and muddled.
And great heavens. I've been giving the Queen doses of whiskey instead of her laudanum sleeping draught. My suspicions were aroused when she kept asking for more.
And Jesse here is a witness.
Witness to what?
That you gave the Queen the wrong medicaments. What? Careless, very careless and dangerous. And you, the Queen's physician? Well, for the moment. But who knows what might happen when she finds out.
Her Majesty needn't be told.
Oh, no. Call yourself a doctor. The wrong medicaments, eh? You could have killed the woman.
Brown?
Yes?
If I were you, I'd keep quiet about this.
I'm sure you would.
Because Lord Charles and I know about you and Jessie.
Me and Jessie? This lassie, Jessie?
She has told me everything.
Everything?
You talk to me of unprofessional conduct, but one small error is as nothing compared with your reprehensible behavior.
It's Mr. Brown's one wee vice, sir. His wee vice. He said so himself.
You're a snake in wolf's clothing, Brown.
He enjoys it, sir.
And you're a shameless girl. Silence.
Very well.
Down by the river,
What? Oh, no. Anywhere.
Enough! You had better tender your resignation before the Queen dismisses you.
He can't resign just because he has a taste for it.
Quiet, you loose, lewd, libidinous lass.
Oh.
At least, Brown, you have promised to marry Jessie.
Me marry Jessie? Certainly not.
I'm not marrying Mr. Brown. With respect, Mr. Brown.
What?
All this fuss because I enjoy a wee drink.
A drink? Who's talking about a drink? You've debauch this child, who is now with child. Aren't you, child?
Mr. Brown's done nothing to me.
But you told me his baby.
Not his baby. His baby. My man out there.
Aye, Bruce the Piper is your man, ma'am. Or, to be more accurate, her man.
Bruce? And you've really nothing to do with this, Brown?
Jessie and Mungo Bruce are to be wed. The Queen will give her blessing. It's no affair of mine.
I misunderstood. A mistake.
Oh.
A mistake?
Yes, that's right, yes. A regrettable error.
Like giving the sovereign the wrong physic. And slandering me, the Queen's personal servant.
Well,
Sir William. Just watch how you go, eh?
So, obviously, Brown has not been dilly-dallying with the parlourmaid.
Are you certain, Sir William?
It's all my fault, Lord Charles.
You're not the father, surely.
Oh, don't be absurd. I jumped to a regrettable conclusion. The father is Bruce the Piper, apparently.
So, we no longer have any hold over Brown.
On the contrary, he has a hold over me.
Oh?
I just happened to give the Queen the wrong medication. She's now in a haze of whiskey. Brown is here to stay, and I may be the one to go.
Oh, surely not. Anyway, be that as it may, I found Mr. Gladstone's trousers, and I've got his bag with the state papers. Here they are.
Oh, not another bag. It's the same as all the others. Now, be careful. Gladstone's still in the anteroom. For heaven's sake, give him his trousers.
Very well. Mr. Gladstone, sir?
Yes, who is there?
Sir William and Lord Charles, sir. I found some trousers for you.
Thank goodness.
And your bag of state papers, sir.
Oh, put it on the table. Thank you. I have so much to discuss with the Queen, but she is totally influenced by that barbarian Brown.
Well, we did think we could rid ourselves of him, sir.
It is the Queen who should go. She should abdicate in favor of the... Where are my trousers?
Here, sir.
But this is a jacket, Ben, a jacket.
I'm sorry, sir. I'll fetch the grey trousers.
The colour is immaterial.
Yes, sir, I apologise.
I can't bear to spend any more time in the anteroom with that boring clergyman pontificating about chickens and Isaiah.
Is there any possibility of my seeing the Queen?
Oh, Reverend sir, I was talking about another boring clergyman.
The Queen wished to see me to discuss the subject of my Sunday sermon.
Yes, yes, Dr. Darling, not long now.
And where's my bag? I must present the chickens to her gracious.
She's coming. She's outside in the corridor.
Who?
The Queen.
Oh, she mustn't see me like this. I am not wearing my tablecloth.
Into the anteroom, all of you.
Quickly. Into the anteroom, I say.
Here's my bag.
Oh, and you, Sir William. Come, come, Dr. Darling.
Coming. Very well.
That's a serious matter.
If Sir William gave me whiskey in error, it was a palatable error.
That's all very well, but your physician will have to be replaced.
Sir William is a very clever man.
Brains aren't everything. In his case, they're nothing.
Now. I feel so much better, so refreshed after my nap, ready for our blessed hour together here in the library. Move the chairs over here, Brown.
Yes, Majesty.
What is the Queen doing?
Shh, keep your voice down, sir. It's 6 o'clock. She and John Brown are having their private weekly rendezvous in there.
If it is private, then why is your eye applied to the keyhole, Lord Charles? Desist at once. Let me have a look.
Oh, Brown. Dear Brown, you must never leave me. Without you, I should be desolate. Life would be like...
A boiled egg?
Without salt, yes. And now you and I will enter our private world together.
They're all anxious to know what we're doing here each Wednesday.
They have no need to know. Not even Lord Charles.
He's jealous of me, that man. Oh. And recently, he's been as jumpy as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs.
Oh, Brown, you have such quaint expressions. Lord Charles is a good man, although he doesn't possess your manliness.
Thank you, Majesty. Now, if you'll just sit yourself here beside me.
Thank you.
How dare they? I must have been blind not to see what is going on.
What is going on?
Don't you realize, gentlemen? John Brown has a paramour. The Queen.
Oh,
it is obvious.
Mr. Gladstone, is not such a statement to His Majesty?
Yes.
Oh.
Their private world together. It is appalling. I have suspected as much for a long time.
Rumours have been rife in foreign newspapers. I'm aware
the
of that.
The Queen of England is consorting with that peasant Brown, a man possessing the culture of a cabbage. They are about to give full rein to their carnal appetites in the library before my very eyes.
Only your left eye, sir, at the keyhole.
Oh, there's nothing we can do. She is the Queen.
But there is much we must do because she is the Queen. She has ignored her royal duties in order to junk it with that man who is only a servant. This must be made public. The nation will be as outraged as I am. There will be a united cry demanding her abdication.
Mr. Gladstone, you are right.
I am always
right. If the Queen went, Brown would go too.
The Prince of Wales will assume the burden of kingship.
The court will move to London.
Civilized London.
Life will be worth living again.
Our problems are as good as solved.
Unethical it may be, but we must listen to them now to gather proof of this illicit relationship. We must all hang together.
I just hope we don't hang separately. Let me have a look.
Be strong and of good courage. Joshua 1, chapter 8.
Oh, be quiet, man. And it's chapter 5, not 8.
I'll move the lamp over here, Majesty. Jessie brought them in earlier.
Jessie, the parlour maid, the pretty plump one?
Aye, she's pretty plump and getting plumper. She's a roundy wee baggage, a real besom.
You have such a store of splendid Scottish phrases. What does besom mean?
Besom means a woman who's not particular about the way she behaves.
Oh, how interesting. And randy, what does that mean?
Oh, well, randy means hungry. Yes, you could say that.
Hungry? That's very interesting. I should like a glass of water, Brown, before we start.
Water? You'd better have some whiskey in it. The water's too cold without it.
Great heavens. Brown's got my bag. I left it by the window. He's giving the Queen the laudanum sleeping draught. What are they doing?
Sitting at the table, Dr. Darling. Well,
that's innocuous enough. May I see?
Brown, how odd. This whisky has no taste or smell.
That's the best malt whisky. Buzzard's breath. I won't have any, not before I go into my trance.
That's very wise. You have a great gift, Brown, communicating with those who have passed over. Oh, these seances have been such a comfort to me. Talking with dearest Albert every Wednesday at 6 o'clock.
Aye, and it's good to know that since he died, he's never felt better.
So that's what they're doing. A seance.
An innocent two-handed seance. Spiritualism. How very bizarre.
And you, Mr. Gladstone, made us believe it was an illicit relationship.
Man is born unto trouble. Job 5.
Dr. Darling, please.
I assumed, that's all.
This is all most unfortunate. We shouldn't eavesdrop. It's not the conduct of officers and gentlemen.
No, we have no choice. We can't get out of here now. Anyway, I'm not an officer.
The window?
I refuse to clamber out of the window until I have retrieved my trousers.
Shh, 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 listen.
Put your hands on the table, Majesty.
I feel so terribly drowsy.
Breathe in.
Breathe in.
Breathe out.
I haven't breathed in yet. Oh, if Albert were alive, how he would enjoy this.
If Albert were alive, we wouldn't be doing this.
I'm so sleepy.
Concentrate. I'm going into a wee trance. A wee trance.
There's someone near us. I feel a presence so strongly near here. So very near.
Hush, woman. Breathe in. Breathe out.
I feel the presence of more than one person. So close to us. Just like the evening we spoke to Queen Boadicea. Oh, what a charming woman she was.
Breathe in. Breathe.
I feel so sleepy. Darling Albert, are you there? Darling, are you there? Darling.
She's calling me. The Queen has called my name.
Nonsense, Dr. Darling. You are hearing things.
I must go in to her. I have been promised an audience with Her Majesty.
Stay where you are, sir.
Come here. Come here. We are waiting.
Oh, we must go in.
Shh, Dr. Darling, please.
I insist. Isaiah 11, verse 21. That is the way walk in.
No, no, sir, please.
Majesty,
we beg forgiveness for this intrusion, but this reverend gentleman heard his name called out.
We were playing charades again, ma'am. A game I have always relished. Lord Charles, what is wrong with Brown?
And the Queen?
They are both. Well, their eyes are closed.
Drunk.
Or dead? Or dead drunk?
Brown is in some sort of trance. The Queen drank my laudanum physic. That is why she appears to be almost asleep.
Darling, is that you, darling? Are you there?
I am indeed, ma'am.
Speak to me, darling.
Oh, very well, ma'am. I anticipate with great pleasure preaching my sermon in your Majesty's presence on Sunday. I'm aware of your fondness of the simplicity of the Presbyterian form of worship, whilst at the same time disapproving of sermons flavoured with fire and brimstone. Nevertheless, with your gracious permission, my text on Sunday will be Ezekiel 18, verse 6, the burning fiery furnace, a sermon I have preached at Perth, people's Pitlochry. Oh.
Her Majesty is asleep.
Hardly my fault. Mr. Brown's arm is raised.
Have you anything further to say?
Well, ma'am, I did bring a boiling fowl as a gift. This... Oh, my goodness, this is not my bag. Oh, it seems to be full of papers.
This is my bag, sir. The state papers.
Oh, really?
Put it on the table before the Queen. Ready for her when she wakes up.
Oh, very well.
Are you leaving, gentle spirits?
What? Yes, we are. Leaving.
What is... Come, gentlemen.
But, Lord Charles,
let us go before they awake.
It is not possible.
This way, Lord.
But if the servants see me without my trousers...
A narrow escape.
Her Majesty seemed to be looking forward to my sermon, although she said little.
Not one word of this must be talked of outside Balmoral.
I cannot take spiritualism seriously.
Never mind the spiritualism. I am talking of my trouserless condition.
Oh, not one word, Mr. Gladstone. I hardly noticed.
Gentlemen, please, let us return to our quarters and sanity.
It would appear that Brown is here to stay after all.
And the Queen.
God bless her.
Wake up, Majesty. It's all over.
Where am I? Oh, Brown, I must have been asleep. I had such a wonderful dream. Albert was here. I heard his voice.
You did?
So distant and yet so near.
So did I hear a voice. He said...
Yes?
Something about Sunday. Something about a bag.
This one on the table? It's your bag, Brown.
No, my one's on the floor. This one's full of documents, papers. He gave it to me with instructions. I heard his voice telling me to... It's Mr. Gladstone's bag of state papers by the look of it.
How strange. What did Albert tell you to do?
He said, and I heard his voice quite distinctly, something about the furnace, the fire.
He wants us to burn them. Albert told us to burn Mr. Gladstone's wretched documents. And that is what we must do at once. At once.
If it's your wish, but...
It is Albert's wish. Come along, Brown.
Very well, then.
Give the bag to me.
There you are, Majesty.
Do you know, Brown?
Ma'am.
After all that, I feel quite... Quite randy.
Randy?
I'd like a boiled egg.
I will. Why not? Why not?
In John Brown's Body by John Graham, Donald MacKillop played John Brown, Hilda Schroeder, Queen Victoria, David March, William Gladstone, Lewis Fyander, Lord Charles Fitzroy, Susie Bran, Jessie, Manning Wilson, Sir William Jenner, and Ian Thompson, the Reverend Dr. Darling. The play was directed by Glyn Dearmond.